Now our scripture reading will come from the book of Proverbs, chapter 4, verses 7 through 9. Proverbs chapter 4, verses 7 through 9. Now hear the reading of God's word. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom, and in all your getting, get understanding. Exalt her, and she will promote you. She will bring you honor when you embrace her. She will place on your head an ornament of grace, a crown of glory she will deliver to you. O Lord, our God, we thank you so much for your word. We thank you so much that you've given it to us. We thank you for your Holy Spirit, too, as well, who illumines our minds as to the meaning of the word that he inspired. So we pray that you would send your Spirit among us now, that we might grow in grace by growing in knowledge of your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Philosophers have spilled much ink over the course of history in order to try and understand life. Each one had his own view and almost always criticized whoever it was that came before him. You would think that something as basic as life itself would be easier to understand. You'd think that it would be simple, but apparently it is not. But the question is this your struggle? Well, in this message, we will look at the true foundation of life, wisdom. Wisdom is the necessary foundation of life. Wisdom is the foundation upon which the world was made, and so without wisdom, there would be nothing. Just the same, without wisdom, you cannot truly know the world. Before we get into what our text says about the necessity of wisdom here, we have to first get a basic understanding of what wisdom actually is. We can speak about wisdom, but without a basic definition, in the first place, we won't grasp what is being said. And C.J. Williams at the seminary actually has a very good definition of wisdom, I think. He says that wisdom begins with the fear of the Lord and works itself out on that basic premise. Wisdom begins with the fear of the Lord and works itself out on that basic premise. This definition is based upon the greatest theme in the wisdom literature of the Bible, and that is that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And so one is wise only if he realizes that God is holy and powerful and therefore punishes sin. This is what it is to fear God. And sometimes people try to reduce it to just a reverence for God. And it is a reverence. But if we don't fear God, then there is something wrong. And so the natural result of this is to flee to Christ and repent from our sins and flee to Christ for the remission of our sins. And so do you fear God? Is that a driving force of your life? And I'm not talking about just a servile fear. I'm talking about a legitimate realization that God is all-powerful. He is everywhere. He knows every thought and intention of your heart. And he could strike you down at any minute, and you would end up in hell. Is this a fear that you have? If not, repent and flee to Christ for the remission of your sins. Because in Christ we have perfect safety, and God becomes no longer our enemy, but our friend. And now our text says in verse 7, wisdom is the principal thing, therefore get wisdom. It can be literally translated, wisdom is the beginning. If you read through Proverbs, you can understand why. Because in chapter 3, verse 19a, it says that the Lord by wisdom hath founded the earth. And so without wisdom, the world would not have been created. Not because God depends on something outside of himself to create, but because wisdom is a part of the very character of God. And so wisdom is foundational to the existence of our world. So wisdom is truly the beginning. However, Solomon takes this reality and applies it to us in this passage, because when we proceed in our verse, we see that we are told to get this wisdom. That wisdom, which is the principal thing, the beginning by which the world was created, you need to get it. Why? Because since it was the basis upon which the world was made, you cannot understand the world without it. And isn't this a wonderful thing that God has provided us with this gift of wisdom in the Scriptures? We have the very wisdom of God unto salvation in the Scriptures. This is where wisdom is found. Think of how all of the philosophers who sought so hard for it, how they never attained to it. They yearned for this kind of stuff. And guess what? We have it. God has revealed this wisdom to us in His Word. The very blueprints for the heavens and the earth. That knowledge which was the foundation of the makings of the universe. We have it. Think of how many people have access to it and don't use it. Think of how many houses in this area contain old, dusty Bibles which haven't been opened in ages. Think of how many towns have churches which are preaching the gospel but are not well attended. It was true of Israel and it is true of Cambridge. The word is very nigh unto thee, in thy mouth and in thy heart, that thou mayest do it. But the question is, do you do it? You know a Christ who can take away your sins, but do you trust in Him? You know you are a sinner, but do you repent? You know how to approach God in prayer, but do you approach Him in prayer? You know the Scriptures and that they contain the words of everlasting life. But do you search them out? Have you found everlasting life? In sum, wisdom is the principal thing. And our text tells you to obtain it. But have you obtained it? Get wisdom, because there is nothing more precious in life than wisdom. But as we continue in our text, we see that it is not enough to have wisdom. Because our text says, wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. And in all you're getting, get understanding. In getting wisdom, you need to get the ability to understand. There are many who have wisdom, but cannot grasp its meaning. Because they don't have the faculty of understanding. And so they pervert wisdom. And that's kind of a hard thing to understand. How can you have wisdom if you don't understand it? Well, think of how many people, as we said, have the Scriptures. In the book of Proverbs, there is a sense in which wisdom and understanding are synonymous. This book is very poetic, and so a variety of words can be used to denote the same thing in general. However, they are different words and as such give us different clues into how wisdom works. When our text says that in all you're getting, get understanding, what it means is that there is something which needs to accompany wisdom. You see, we must get wisdom. And that is the main point of the statement. But when we get wisdom, we need to get something as well as a necessary complement to it. And that is understanding. But what is understanding? Well, the underlying Hebrew word for it means more specifically the ability to understand, or the faculty of understanding. That part of you which understands. And so if you have wisdom, it will not work unless you can understand it. There are many things in life which are useful and really quite necessary, but become useless without a necessary component. Think about a car, for instance, necessary for most people. If you don't have one, you might be severely limited. In Cambridge, it might be a different situation, though. But even when you do get a car, it is useless without the key. It might have great gas mileage and be equipped with all the great amenities, but if it is absolutely useless if you don't have the key. And the key to wisdom is understanding. A minute ago, we spoke of how wisdom is so accessible in our culture. You can go to any bookstore and get a Bible. There are millions of translations of the Bible. And we address the issue of how, though it is so accessible, no one uses it. Well, many who do try to put this wisdom to use, many have grappled with the Scriptures, have tried to understand the gospel, the wisdom of God unto salvation, have failed miserably. They seem to have a habit of studying Scripture, but they don't have a grasp of it. In 1 Corinthians 2:14, it says, "But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned." The first key to understanding, to have that understanding in order to appropriate wisdom, is you need to put your faith in Christ. Because if you don't have your faith in Christ, you are the natural man. You don't have the Holy Spirit, and so you cannot understand wisdom. You read the Bible, but the gospel is not there to you. You read about the gospel, but it goes over your head. That's why you need to put your faith in Christ. That's why the Holy Spirit needs to enter into you for you to truly understand the Scriptures. Think of the Roman Catholic Church. They have the Scriptures, the very wisdom of God unto salvation, but they have perverted it. They have missed the very heart of the gospel. Their view of salvation is completely and utterly different. And why is this? Because the Roman Catholic Church does not have the ability to understand. Now, I was talking to Carmine the other day, and he has been a part of the Catholic Church in his life, and he says that he believes that the Roman Catholic Church does not have the Holy Spirit. And he's right, it doesn't have the Holy Spirit. And that's why they can't understand. There are some things in life that they can understand, like all non-believers. But when it comes to the most important thing, that is the wisdom of God unto salvation, they cannot understand it. And so the question is, do you have this understanding? Do you have the Holy Spirit indwelling you so that you can understand the Scriptures? You might have read through the Bible many times, but if you don't understand, then what good is it to you? This ability to understand is a gift from the Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians 2:10 says, "But God hath revealed them unto us by His Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God." And so the Spirit is the source of wisdom, and therefore the source of understanding. Do you understand the message of the gospel? That you are a sinner worthy of God's just wrath. And that if you trust in Christ, you will be saved because of His finished work. Some don't think that sin is that bad. They will either excuse it or just give the usual cliche that everyone sins sometimes. For these people, the cross is not necessary. They are truly foolish. Do not be foolish. Realize that you are a sinner. And that you in and of yourself deserve the wrath of God. Realize the weightiness of sin, how bad sin really is. But then remember that there is a Savior who will wash away all of your sins. A wonderful Savior. Lack of understanding is manifested in different ways. Jehovah's Witnesses don't understand the deity of Christ. Some people might not have an articulate confession or faith, but they'll read the Scriptures and they still don't grasp it. But they are headed for destruction because they do not have the ability to understand. And so remember the command of our text, get wisdom, and in all you get understanding. But also as we continue, we see that wisdom will exalt you, but you must embrace her. And now when I say you must embrace her, and our text describes wisdom or personifies wisdom as a woman, it's a metaphor. And so when I say her, I'm referring to wisdom. And some think that wisdom will get them nowhere. But our text makes it clear that wisdom is sure to bring you into a great position in life. In verse 8, we see a command to exalt wisdom. And I'll read that for you right now. Exalt her and she will promote you. She will bring you honor when you embrace her. This means that we must lift up wisdom high in our lives, giving her priority. At the end of the verse, we are told of what good comes when you embrace her. And so she must be embraced, embraced and lifted high. However, when these things are done, there is a promise. And that promise is that she will exalt and honor you. She will give you a high position. And not only that, but she will honor you. You will be ones who are considered to be very important by her. And so I asked you, have you exalted wisdom in your life? Have you held her high? If not, then why not? Doesn't our text say that if you do, she will exalt you? Children, you might have friends that make fun of you for believing in Jesus. They might think that they might call you stupid for following God with all the do's and the don'ts. Why is it worth it? But you can point right to this text because it tells you that it is worth it. Because our text gives us another impression, doesn't it? It tells us that indeed it is worth it to embrace wisdom. There is nothing more profitable for your soul, nothing more important in life than to obtain this wisdom. Think of our Lord Jesus Christ, who is perfectly wise, because he is the ultimate example of this. He was exalted to the right hand of God. We have failed wisdom, but Christ didn't. Christ exalted wisdom, and wisdom exalted him. He embraced wisdom, and wisdom honored him. This is important for us to understand, because since we have not followed the ways of wisdom, we do not deserve to be exalted or honored by her. However, Christ embraced wisdom perfectly, and he did it for us. Jesus, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge, received the punishment of the fool when he died on the cross so that we would be saved. And he was exalted to the right hand of God so that through union with him, we might be exalted. And so Paul can say that God has raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. You have all been foolish. Every last one of you, but trust in Christ. There is nothing more wise than to trust in him. Exalt Christ, and he will exalt you. Embrace Christ, and he will honor you. But also remember, let us remember that wisdom has great beauty as well. Some try to make wisdom seem like an ugly thing, but it is the most beautiful thing in the world. If you have wisdom, it will adorn you with splendor. This truth is put forth in our text with very vivid imagery so we can understand how great it is. And I'll read the verse for you. She will place on your head an ornament of grace, a crown of glory she will deliver to you. Such vivid imagery for such a great thing. In our culture, we might use different imagery. Perhaps a nice suit and tie for a man or elegant earrings for a woman. But the point is, wisdom is beautiful. Christians today are tempted to compromise the faith because they want to make the faith more palatable to the world. Some would argue that we need to change because we are mocked and ridiculed so much. Indeed, we are mocked and ridiculed, but we should never change. You see, we should not judge the value of how we look to the world by what the world says. The point is that true wisdom, which is found in the Word of God, makes its followers truly attractive. Not with the attractiveness of outward beauty or costly apparel. Such costly apparel, which brings outward beauty, is used as an illustration here in our text. But remember, it is only an illustration. And that illustration points to a greater reality, which is that true wisdom adorns her followers with true beauty. A beauty which the world, with all of its schemes and vain inventions, will never attain to. Christian, the reason why the world hates you is not because your faith is an embarrassment. It is because you have the true beauty which they cannot attain to. And that is why the church needs to get back to a clearer Christian testimony. Because when God opens the eyes of sinners, they will see the beauty of true wisdom. They will come into the church and all the nations will flow into Zion. Think of Solomon, who prayed for wisdom to rule his kingdom, and God granted it to him. He really sought for it because he knew the value of it, and he found it by God's grace. And we know what happened. He became famous. All the nations saw that how wise he was, and they flocked to him to hear his wisdom. The Queen of Sheba was impressed. Wisdom was truly what our verse says to him. An ornament of grace, a crown of glory on his head. Now, isn't this what you want? Do you not want men and women to see a beauty in you, which they cannot find anywhere else? Do you not want them to ask you so that they can find it themselves? Well, then, there is only one thing to do. Get wisdom, and in all you're getting, get understanding. Study the Word to deepen your faith, and be on your knees praying that God grants you understanding. Do not just settle for the status quo. Do not be satisfied with a bare minimum knowledge of doctrine. Get more and more and more. Gluttony is a sin when it comes to eating, but it's not a sin when it comes to getting wisdom. You cannot get too much wisdom. Your appetite should never be satisfied. Study the Word, learn the glorious gospel in all of its wonderful aspects. Learn the wonderful Savior who gave his life for sinners like you and me. And do you know what? You will be truly beautiful. There is a worth to wisdom which cannot be measured. As was alluded to earlier, it is that which God used to create the world. It will further you and it will adorn you with beauty. And so I will conclude with a general question. What are you waiting for? Get wisdom. And if you have wisdom, what are you waiting for? Get understanding. Because wisdom is the most foundational kind of knowledge that you will ever receive in life. And you cannot apply it without the Holy Spirit indwelling you so that you can have that understanding. And so that's why we have to pray, even as Christians, that the Holy Spirit opens our eyes to the Word as we study it. O Lord, our God, we thank you so much for this passage. We thank you for all the great beauty that you give us in wisdom, the great principles that we can study, that we can meditate on, so that we come closer to you. And we pray that you would apply it to our lives. Bless us as we ponder this passage. In Jesus' name, amen.